From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message called The Ever-Living and Ever-Giving Christ, the final installment of a series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. Having finished his work of redemption on the cross, Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he lives forever as God incarnate. Unlike the Old Testament priests who never sat down in the temple because their work was never finished, the Lord Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of God the Father, signifying that the sacrifice of himself for sin was done once and for all. Dr. Cairns will continue the message shortly, but first he brings today's hot topic, Pervert in the Pulpit.
Prestonwood Baptist Church near Dallas, Texas, has about 26,000 members. It has about 40 pastors to take care of various aspects of the needs of the vast congregation. One of those pastors was the Reverend Joe Barron, and on May 15, 2008, he was arrested in a police sting. Evidently, Barron had been carrying on an internet liaison over a period of 2 weeks with someone he believed was a 13-year-old girl. What he didn't know was that his little girl was really an officer of the Bryan, Texas Police Department. So all the vile, sexually explicit filth that he wrote was taken down in evidence against him. Of course, at that stage, the police had no idea of the pervert's identity. They discovered that when Barron set up a meeting with his 13-year-old victim. He drove his wife's car 200 miles for the meeting, and was fully equipped for an illicit encounter with a minor. Instead, he walked right into the arms of the police. Prestonwood Baptist Church publicly announced his resignation and their acceptance of it. The church is cooperating with the police to discover if Barron had contact with any other minor girls. An examination of his computers will, no doubt, tell investigators a lot. Meanwhile, once again, we have the unwholesome spectacle of a church leader embroiled in seamy perversion. Apparently, Barron was full of shame and remorse when he was arrested. Well, he might be, but I have a great deal of skepticism about the sincerity of a pervert who shows remorse when he's caught, but could, without remorse, plan the rape of a 13-year-old girl. Such a man has no place in the Christian ministry. If he belongs anywhere in this world, it's in jail, and I hope that he draws a sentence that may act as a deterrent to the hordes of predatory perverts who are roaming cyberspace in search of young victims. But we need to be careful here. We need to remember that even this monster has a family. He drove his wife's car. So he has a wife, who will no doubt be devastated and deeply humiliated by her husband's vileness. She needs our prayers, that the Lord will give her grace to bear the shame brought on her by her perverted partner. Then there's the church. When Preston Wood took Barron on staff, he had served as a senior pastor and as an education minister in other churches over a period of years. There's no evidence that the church ignored any warning signals. Many will use Barron's wickedness as a way of getting at the church. That would be unfair. They are victims, not the perpetrators of this crime. All this raises the issue of internet pornography. It seems to be everywhere. Boys are being introduced to it at an early age and are being drawn into its foul sphere. grown men live in a fantasy world of lust and illicit relationships, and the molestation of children grows at an alarming rate. Police sting operations help the situation. Getting rid of judges who routinely give derisory sentences to child molesters would help more. Parents taking responsibility to supervise their kids' use of computers would help even more. And of course, tough action against the porn industry is long overdue. We have for too long allowed peddlers of moral filth to wrap themselves in the cloak of free speech. It's time we had men in politics and in the Supreme Court who had the guts to say that pornography is not protected speech. Would all these make America pure? No. They would help, but the nation's greatest need is a resurgence of gospel preaching that will bring millions of our people to the knowledge of saving grace. That's the best way to rid us of perverts in the pulpit or anywhere else.
From guilt and shame.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Incarnation was not a temporary expedient. The incarnation was not something that happened and endured for a while, and then the Son of God broke that union. When He entered into union with true humanity, that was an irreversible step that God took. And Jesus Christ is as much today God manifested in human flesh as He ever was before. Acts 1 said, this same Jesus will come again. It's the same Jesus who was born of the Virgin, who died, who rose again, who ascended to the right hand of God, who sits there as our great high priest, and who will come again in glory. If my memory's right, and it could be faulty here, I think it was Martin Luther who spoke of the extravagance of God's love. The extravagance of God's love.
how God, to use a very vulgar, and I use that in its dictionary sense, an everyday usage of the word, it's what we would say, God went overboard. He went where there were no limits. He did something utterly inconceivable to any mind but his own. He did something that Peter tells us angels were astonished at, and they stretched their necks to try to get a glimpse, to come to some little understanding of this majestic and mysterious thing that God was doing, where the second person of the eternal Trinity entered into union with humanity, in a union that would stand forever and would last as long as God lasts, which is eternally. This is where I am totally and absolutely at a loss. This is where I would need the mind of an angel even to make a little progress, and the oratory of an angel to describe it to you. I remember years ago Dr. Paisley preaching at the height of his powers. He tried to plumb the depth of this, and I'll never forget one thing that he said. When God the Son laid aside the robes of his eternal invisibility, and he entered into union with a man, that though as God he is forever omnipresent, yet in a very peculiar and personal way, there is always a place, there is always a point, there is always a body where the very Son of God exists and is. That is the extravagance of the love of God for a sinner like you and me. And out of that we can say, this is why I said the hymn that we first mangled and then sang well was one of the greatest ever written. There is now a man in the glory. There is a man in the glory. Now I can't go too far afield on this morning, because I'm supposed to finish this series today, not start a new series. I believe, when you look at all the biblical evidence, God's plan for man was that after he was for a little time lower than the angels, he would be exalted to a glory beyond that of any other creature. The angels were created to be the ministering spirits of man. That's why Satan was so quickly antagonistic to our first parents in the garden. And without going into the evidence again, I will simply make the statement that I have, I think, proved in past occasions in this pulpit, that when Satan sinned, it was not because he was seeking to take the place of God on the throne. It was because he was seeking to take the place of man as highly exalted to the glory that God had for him. The result was the fall. And it appeared that man was shut off from the glory. But now see the extravagance of the love of God. Now see the fullness of the wisdom of God, where he turns not only the wrath of man, but even of devils to praise him. God takes his own Son. And I am not suggesting, and you must understand this, while I'm out of my depth, I am not out of my mind. I am not suggesting that God waited to do this in reaction to what Satan did. God did all this according to one indivisible, eternal decree. But God took his own Son, and he made him a man, not to convert his deity, not in any way to dilute his deity. Those are crazy concepts even. It's impossible. But he sent him in a personal union with a true humanity, so that Jesus Christ, by his mighty substitutionary redemptive work, would earn a place as man at the right hand of the Majesty on High, so that when he ascended, it would be a true man in the glory. And today we have a man in the glory. He's there by covenant, because God entered into that covenant with his Son, that he would do certain things and he would gain certain results for himself and for all those for whom he stood as covenant head. He's there by covenant. But he's there by right, because he has earned the right to be there. We were reading this morning that he entered in by his own blood, by the merit of his own blood. He's therefore there by covenant. He's there by right, because he's there by merit. And now he sits in the midst of the throne of God. And that, my friend, is the definition of the dignity and the guarantee of the destiny of redeemed men. For all for whom Jesus acted will have a place with him in the glory. I want you to understand this. This is the beauty and the glory of the irreversible incarnation of the Son of God. There's a man in the glory. The man Christ Jesus. The one man whom God elected, and he chose the rest of us in him. The one man whom God justified, and he justified us in him. The one man whom God glorified, because he had a right to glory, and he glorifies us in him, and in union with our Savior. His existence after his ascension tells us that he lives forever as God incarnate. Let me speak a word quickly about his entrance into that glory. We read today in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24 that Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He entered into heaven itself. There he sits, as we read in Hebrews 10:12. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. There he sits, resting in his finished work. I've often pointed out, and you should never forget it, that this is deliberately worded to be in total contrast with every Old Testament priest. Every priest of the order of Aaron went in to sacrifice in the tabernacle or the temple, and God made no provision even for a bench on which the priest could sit down. His work was never finished. But when Christ sacrificed, he sat down, resting in his own finished work. You know, that's the real meaning. It's another one of those verses I'll give you a little sidelight on. That's the real meaning of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10. Turn to it for a minute, because it is very, very important for many reasons. Hebrews 4 is all about the rest of the people of God. Rest. Without going into the details, there are a couple of terms that are used for rest that appear the same in English, but they're not the same. The usual word for rest is the word that gives us the English word pause. But in verse 9 it says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And then verse 10 gives you the reason. "For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his." Now understand what it's saying. God finished his work and rested. It says in verse 10 that there's someone else who finished his work and rested. As God finished His creation work and rested, so Jesus Christ finished His redeeming work and rested. Now, look at verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that is usually taken to say, we have rest in Christ, we have salvation in Christ. And that's very true. Certainly part of the meaning. But when Paul wrote this, as I believe it was Paul who wrote this, he didn't use the usual term. He used the word that has one meaning and one meaning only. There is therefore a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. Why? Because Christ finished His work and Christ has entered into His rest. That's what Paul's saying.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.